Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. That's right. It's a playoff edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. Midway through round one in just about every series. Got some games coming up tonight, which I know we're locked into. I'm Martin Weiss, joined here with the kid himself from Kansas City. I actually got a nice note from a fan who said, do not let Mark pretend like he's a Royals fan. And you know what, buddy? I won't. But anyway, Mark, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
What? Where'd you get that note from?
I'm not kidding. I got a note on my Substack. He said, if you search Negro on Mark Gunnell's timeline, there are more posts about Vinny Del Negro than there are about Jackie Robinson and the Negro Leagues. I was just like,
oh, wow. That's crazy.
I didn't check it myself, but I was like, sounds good. So I'll go with it. Why not?
Wow. That's crazy. The USC graduate student in journalism didn't fact check that, just is going to go believe a troll out there. That's crazy. Where's your journalistic integrity at, Martin Weiss? Come on, man. You're supposed to fact check these things.
Man, sometimes, what do they say? Feelings over facts? No.
Wow. And
speaking of feelings over facts, where do you want to start here? Because the NBA is obviously in full swing with the playoffs, but we have had some generational feelings over facts just last night. We can start with Joel Embiid. We should be up 2-0. I believe it ourselves. That's a feeling over fact for sure. Or we could start with LeBron saying, I don't know what the hell they're doing in Secaucus with the replay center, because the referees didn't even think about stopping the game when we were blowing a 23-point lead. No, that's not what he was actually saying. He was complaining about D'Angelo Russell getting hit in the face, which that must be the reason why they blew a 23-point lead to the team that's beat him the last 9, now 10 times in a row. But you know what? The floor is yours, my friend. Or we could also talk about how good things happen to bad people with the Cleveland Cavaliers just mollywopping the Orlando Magic so far. And Magic can't score 85 points. Like, they look like they're playing a different game than everybody else. It's like how did this team even make the playoffs? But anyway, where would you like to start?
Well, we got to start in Denver. I think that's the only appropriate place for us to start on this show. I'm still licking my wounds from last night.
And it would have been really cool if the Lakers had got to the sixth seed. You had said that the Lakers were going to get to six. I feel like you would have, if the Lakers were in six, you'd be sitting with your feet up chilling. But this Nuggets matchup is not one. I mean,
or if they pulled a Cavs and tanked and got the eighth seed and played OKC.
I'll be honest.
He didn't impress me in game one at all. I know they won, but I mean,
this is how you know my brain is warped from our day job. But as soon as LeBron missed that free throw with like 3.5 minutes left, I was like, oh, this is setting up for a Skip Bayless special. A Skip Bayless special is loading. And then as soon as I saw KCP fly into the first row and leaving LeBron incredibly open for the three, but he didn't have a dribble. I was like, as soon as I saw him miss it, I was like, oh, no, no. And every so often, if you really, really pay attention to the Undisputed show, you could also see where it's like this, that stuff that Skip be talking about. And not that I agree with them, but that's what he was talking about. That was a masterclass last night out of LeBron James.
Yeah, man. I posted this on X, formerly known as Twitter, last night that there's no point in watching the first 43 minutes of a Lakers-Nuggets game. There's literally no point, because obviously it doesn't mean anything. Just watch the last 5 minutes. Just have one of your best buddies that's watching all 48 minutes, have them text you at the 5-minute mark, and hey, you can tune in now. Because that's when the game starts. Like, I keep seeing the same movie over and over again. You know, the Lakers play pretty good for the first 43 minutes. You know, you think they got a chance, and then all of a sudden, the Nuggets just out-execute them. They played a two-man game. The Jamal Murray, Jokic to death. They do that over and over again. They make timely shots, and the Lakers go on this spell where they can't make a shot for 2 or 3 minutes, and that's the ball game. It's the same.
So you're saying just wait to the part, because if you watch the local Lakers broadcast, which we end up seeing more often than not because, you know, where we are located, you mean don't turn it on until you see the Morongo final 5 minutes come across the scoreboard. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, man. It's
brought to you by Morongo Casino.
It's sickening, man. I mean, I even got fooled this time. I was like, oh, this may be the one they actually win. I mean, suing me, they're up 23 points. Hey, man. Suing me for thinking that this is the game they're actually finally going to break through and win. And we're going to have a series here, 1-1, going back to L.A. I would have been feeling great today. And now it feels like all the air just got sucking out of this team. You know, now you're blaming the refs, even though that was egregious, though. I mean, how do you look at the replay and then overturn that? Like, he clearly got hit in the face. Like, I had the volume down,
and I wasn't quite exactly sure. I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, I'm sitting there watching the foul, and I assumed they were reviewing it to see if it was a common foul or flagrant foul.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were like, no, not only is it not a flagrant foul, it's not a foul at all. I was like, wait a minute. How did that work? That's like if you're up for attempted murder or murder in the first degree, and somehow you end up walking out of the courtroom.
Yeah. And that's not why they lost, but that's still like the fact that you look at the replay and you overturned that is wild to me. Clearly got hit in the face, but I digress, man. Now you're down 2-0. Now you have to win both games at home to have a chance. Because if you split, you're down 3-1. Going back to Denver, it's over. So I think it's pretty much over anyway. I said they have to split. They have to win one of the first two in Denver to have a realistic chance. Because I don't see this team. There's no way they're winning 4 out of 5 against Denver when you lost 10 in a row against them. But just deflating, man. You had the game right in your palms. And then you just let it slip away.
Man, it was honestly... This is how I could tell I'm getting older, because I think about like what I would tell my kid watching the game with me, the kid I don't have, full disclosure. But I would tell my kid, look at the way Jamal Murray continued to be aggressive on the offensive end and the way that Joker kept him involved, right? He kept him like, no, come here and take this dribble handoff, son, and you're going to do something with it. Because at the end of the day, you know, it seemed as if they both had the ultimate confidence in one another, because they did not play well at all through the first. Well, Jokic had a good first quarter, but through the middle quarters, the second and third quarter, they were just completely human, like completely human. And then as soon as Jamal hit that up and under dipsy do layup with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I was like, okay, if he's going to start, that's going to be the moment that gets him started. Because it was a tough contested layup. And we've seen Jamal Murray, who has got to have one of the most interesting careers in NBA history, because every year he's not an all-star. And every year, when you look at the people who made the all-star game over him, you're not like, what a snub, right? It makes sense, right? Like, I probably would have put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the starting in the All-Star game over you, Jamal Murray, you know, and so on and so forth. When you look at that, but there's no denying that that guy is one of the top playoff performers that we've seen in the game, like in the history of the game, when put in position, right? And I'm not saying he's going to be able to carry a team, but he's got to be one of the best Robins to Joker's Batman that exists in basketball.
Yeah. Actually, I texted my dad last night, speaking of a father-son connection, one that actually does exist, not Martin and his non-existent son. You know, I was telling him, because he's a LeBron supporter as well, so we were both sulking together. But he was like, man, Murray, he's inevitable. And I was just saying, you know what? Forget the names. You know, you're talking about the All-Stars and the accolades. That's the best duo in basketball, man. It is. Because when it comes down to winning time and the chemistry they have with each other, I don't think there's a duo that plays better off each other than those two. So, ultimately, yeah, you know, LeBron, AD, bigger names, I get that. You know, you got other duos out there, you know, KD, Booker, Kyrie, and Luka. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, winning time, playoff basketball, give me Jokic and Murray, man. Best duo in the league.
Now, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think it was 25 points for Jokic, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists, which he's done 4 times as of yesterday night, right? Done 4 times in the playoffs. And the rest of the NBA had done it 4 times in total. Wilt twice, Oscar Robertson once maybe, and Dave Cowens the other. And Jokic has done it 4 times, right? Like, this guy, I'm really glad honestly, I mean this earnestly. I mean, I sincerely mean this. I'm really glad that they won the championship last year because it allows people to view him in a different light now that he actually has the ring, right? You know, like, and who knows what happens this year, right? They are, I think they'll probably, if gentlemen sweep at worst in this series, right? So, like, this series is not, I'm talking about legacy type talk because his game is not super loud. Like, when you watch, when you think back to the Western Conference Finals last year or even the finals last year, or you think back to this series so far, Jokic's game is not super loud, even though he is putting up incredible stats. So he needed to have some winning along with it so we could compare him accurately to some of the all-time greats, because otherwise people would just be like, oh, he's a stat compiler. And who knows? I might have been people. But he just does otherworldly stuff on the court, and we're just like, oh, okay, well, that was cool, right? Like, that was dope. Like, that was awesome. Like, and he did all that, and I still don't think that Anthony Davis played poorly defensively. You know, defensively, I didn't know what else you could do.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lakers, man, they really messed up by not getting another center. You know, putting all that on AD is just simply unfair. You know, you go back to the bubble when they had legit size outside of AD. You had a Dwight Howard, you know, you had JaVale McGee, you had other guys to kind of take some pressure off of AD. And we know how good of a defender he is, but asking him to guard him for 40 plus minutes and then still give you 30 on the other end, it's a lot to ask for a guy, man. Especially, I know he's been really healthy this year as far as playing games. He played in 70 plus games this year, but that's kind of goes to my point. You know, he's been having a lot of wear and tear on his body this year more than any other season. And he's older than he has ever been in any other season. So the fact they didn't try to go out there and get some big, like, I don't care who it is, just a guy, 7-footer out there that can just give you, buy you 5 to 6 fouls, get you some rebounds, play a little defense, just to spare you 10 to 15 minutes a night. Because you don't have that, because Jackson Hayes is not that guy.
You mean you don't think that Rui Hachimura can play Jokic one-on-one in the post?
No, I do not. And, you know, I want to go back to Denver real quick because big picture-wise, and I was thinking last night, and, you know, obviously there's no secret here that I'm a Lakers supporter. I want them to do well. So as much as I want to dislike Denver, I can't, because they've done it the right way. And I'll be a hypocrite as a Chiefs fan. They've done it the right way. This is not a KD Warrior situation. All these guys are drafted. You know, they did pick up Aaron Gordon, but that was a good, solid pickup, right? Not like you're getting some superstar guy, but you drafted Jokic, you drafted Michael Porter, you drafted Jamal Murray. Like, they've done it the right way. All these guys are homegrown for the most part, and they've built the chemistry. The guys are playing together. They're playing well. Christian Brown, KU guy, off the bench, gives you a spark, plays good defense, has a couple of fast break opportunities. So, I mean, this is actually basketball in its purest form. So, I mean, if you love basketball, it's kind of hard not to like the Denver Nuggets, man, because they've done it the right way, and they play basketball the right way. Like, you were talking about, if you had a son, like, you would tell him certain things. I think you would tell him to, you know, learn the fundamentals and how to play the game. You would tell him to watch the Denver Nuggets.
I tell you, but speaking of the Lakers, I think the same thing has been true, which has always been true of this team. They don't have a third star. I mean, first of all, I was looking up this last night to try to find out how to maybe make a T-shirt of Austin Reeves on a milk carton. He's been missing in the double-digit scores club in the playoffs. It's like, can he get you to 15 on decent volume? No? Okay, thanks. Maybe Austin Reeves can't be the third best player on a championship team. D'Angelo Russell tried his best. He tried his best. And I know you were feeling good in the first half when he was bang, bang, banging everything. And then, but down the stretch, he had that lob pass that landed in Utah. You know, and he's just jumping up and down. He's like, oh, no, that's my bad. That's my bad. As if anybody was ever curious whose bad it was, right? Like, we know. We saw. The game's on national TV, D'Angelo. He played well, though. I don't want to crush him for it. But this team needs another gun in the worst way, and they just don't have it. Like, if you had Malik Monk on this Lakers team, even like just a another scorer, like legit scorer, I think you'd be looking at a different, because they don't have anybody who can carry the offense if it's not LeBron, and LeBron is older than me. And if you're older than me, you probably shouldn't, you should be looking to retire from professional athletics. My knees hurt when I walked up the stairs today. You know, how do you think LeBron feels right now?
Well, I mean, but throughout the season, D'Lo has been that guy. I mean, he's giving you, what, 18 a night? Isn't that what you pretty much want from your third score? About 18 points? That's kind of what, about where he was at. And he shot well this year. He shot almost, what, I think about 40% from three. So, here, I mean,
I'll borrow from inside the NBA. That's the regular season. The playoffs is the playoffs. And when the playoffs come, your big time players have to step up and dominate. If you average 25, if you average 18 in the regular season, you had to average 25 in the playoffs. I need 30 in the playoffs. Where's the firecracker? Where's the, you know, that's supposed to be Shaq, a very poor Shaq impression, but you already know what I'm saying. Like, you need Damian Lillard wasn't scoring 35 points in the first half of the regular season either, was he? Like, these are things that once you get to the playoffs, you need your, you know, A title lead actors to really star in their roles. And that's that you talk about the Denver Nuggets. That's something that they're great at. Like, if you just watch the evolution of Michael Porter Jr. from even like from the bubble to now, it doesn't even look like the same player, right? He doesn't even look like in the bubble, every time he dribbled, it looked like it hurt his hands, right? Because that's how, like, but now it was a three-pointer, not the three-pointer that he hit after Jokic tried his best to throw the ball out of bounds and Aaron Gordon saved it right to him. Like, that was a crazy shot, big-time shot. But there was a three-point, there was a possession, maybe three possessions before that. He stole the ball or got the rebound and was right at the top of the key and was open and almost shot it. Like, he pump faked it and was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. He passed it back out. I believe it was Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray hit a two-pointer, but it just showed, like, the evolution of Michael Porter Jr. Because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that shot is definitely going up. Whether you made it or missed it, it was a bad shot. Like, the process wasn't solid, right? And I think that just shows you, like, well, while the Nuggets have another guy, because Michael Porter Jr., offensively, his shooting was able to steady the Nuggets while Jokic and Murray were struggling in that second and third quarter.
Yeah, they're just so well put together, man. They play it the right way. They make the right decisions always, it seems, at the right time. And the ball bounces their way. Like, you were talking about that Jokic play, like, what are the odds that it just falls into Gordon's hands and then he just finds an open Porter to tie the game with less than a minute to go? Like, things like that just always happens in these games. You just think one time the ball will bounce the Lakers away, and it just doesn't. Never against this team.
Yeah, you would have. Well, you know, Austin Reeves was right there. He could have got that loose ball, but Aaron Gordon beat him to it.
So do you think, like, just look ahead the next game, are the Lakers mentally shot? Is this going to be a sweep? Or you said gentleman sweep?
I think you're looking at gentleman sweep at best. If the Lakers do win a game, it will be the next game, the game three. But I don't know what they can do to be better. Like, legitimately. I mean, maybe. Okay, so if you want to poke holes in, like, some of Darvin Ham's strategies, like, I'm here for it in that, like, you probably don't need to double Jokic up 20. Right? Because then you're just getting everybody else going, especially a game in which Jokic wasn't killing you. Right? Like, you know, you probably want to kind of Caitlin Clark that thing. Let him get his, or let her get hers in that case. And then shut the water off for everybody else. It's like Michael Porter Jr.'s 20 is the one that kills you, not Jokic's 20. Right? But I mean, I don't know what else outside of LeBron making that shot instead of missing that shot. I don't know what strategically you can do they just don't have the horses.
Yeah, the more we talk about this game, the more depressed I get.
Hey, I tell you what though, I've told you this a bunch of times before, man, you gotta look out for those Calipari guards, man. Killers.
Well, with that,
just about all of them.
Can we just
make it to the league? We talk about another Calipari guard, Tyrese Maxey, who was the best player on the court last night for the 76ers. I don't know how that end of game possession went without a foul call. Like, I didn't see Nick Nurse calling timeout until after the fact. And whether or not, to me, if you want a timeout in that scenario, like inbounding the ball, if I'm the head coach of the team, I'm going to call a timeout and walk onto the court. It's like I'm calling time, like I'm walking out onto the court like this, like timeout. But like Brunson and Josh Hart kind of mugged Maxey on that inbound. Now, everything that happened after the fact, I got no beef with. But Maxey's, to me, clearly got fouled on that inbounds for sure. Which loss was more deflating? The Knicks loss? I mean, the Knicks win over the 76ers or the Nuggets win over the Lakers?
Oh, the Nuggets, 100%. And that's not just because I'm a Lakers supporter. It's because the team you're going against, the defending champions. So it's a bigger hill to climb to come out of 0-2 versus the Knicks. I still think Philadelphia is going to win that series. I think they win both games.
So you agree with Joel Embiid?
Yeah, I think they win both games in Philly, like 100%. I mean, both those games, you could have flipped the coin and it could have went either way. I think they win both games back in Philly. It's 2-2 going back to New York, and then you got a 2 out of 3 series at that point.
I would disagree wholeheartedly, and so does Eddie Spaghetti, who writes that's LOL.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't see it. The Knicks with OG Anunoby have been incredible, and throughout the first two games of the playoffs, still been pretty damn good. And Jalen Brunson hasn't even come close to playing like the player that he has been all regular season. You want to talk about guys that need to step up and play better. Jalen Brunson needs to shoot the ball better. But I think seeing that last three hit front rim, spin in, the one before the DiVincenzo, second three-pointer that ended up giving New York the margin. I think that shot for Brunson will probably change some things for him in game three. I expect him to have a huge game three on the road.
Yeah, see, I don't at all. I think Philadelphia's defense deserves more credit with him. And especially in this series, they're allowing both teams to be very physical, as you can see. They're not calling anything, even towards the end of the game. So I fully expect Philadelphia to win. You could quote this right now. I guarantee, to quote another TNT guy, I guarantee that Philadelphia will win the next two games. It will be 2-2 going back to the Garden for game five. Book it.
Whoa. How about that?
Martin is taken back. For the people that are not watching on video, he is wide-eyed right now as I made that very bold claim just now.
I will say this. The playoffs going as chalk as they have been is surprising at best. And I do not expect it to continue. I think we will have to see some runs, like, yeah, because so far, none of the home teams have lost a game, which is odd. That's weird for sure. Thanks a lot, CJ McCollum. But anyway, yeah, that is something.
I think that changes tonight, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, just a little tease, though. I don't want to give it away because it's part of my parlay at the end.
So. All right. Well, we'll see. I think I probably disagree with your parlay, but yeah, I think the Knicks are in good shape to win this thing in six. So even if Philly does come back and win games 3 and 4, I think the Knicks in six looks like a lock. And I think the winner of this is a lock for the Eastern Conference Finals, because either the Cavaliers or the Magic are just not. They're just not.
Yeah, let's get into that, because, you know, last week you were all on the, you know, the Cavs are not good people because they intentionally wanted this matchup, and you were all on, I'm going for Orlando. I want nothing more than a Magic to beat those cowards in Cleveland for tanking and intentionally wanting this matchup against the young Orlando Magic. And now,
for the record, I still feel that way. And if they lose now, it'll be that much worse.
You can still feel that way, but I have a weird feeling that you don't think that this is going to go in your direction.
No, I guarantee the Magic go back to Orlando and win games 3 and 4. We're coming back to Cleveland tied 2-2.
Wow.
No, I don't know. The Magic offense is just, I mean, golly. Like, It is. It's like walking down the freeway. Like, you get there eventually, but no time soon. Like, golly, that Magic offense is terrible. They don't have enough space. You want to talk about a team that needs a Malik Monk. They need somebody who can just be another bucket getter next to Paolo Banchero, because he's not a true point guard at all, and he's trying to play. I think the Magic are not necessarily in the right, you know, they got to figure something out, because it's really the Donovan Mitchell show, and that's it for Cleveland. It's not like they've been playing great on the other end, right? It's just that their star is, you average 20 in the regular season, I want to see 30 in the playoffs, is doing a 30 in the playoffs type of move. Like, the way that Mitchell came out in game two for that first half hour that everybody watched before the Knicks started, and then no one watched the rest of the game, he was incredible to start the game out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this has been a tough two games to watch just as a basketball viewer, because, like you said, Orlando's offense, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, you know, they're going slow. They're walking it up the court, especially for a young team. Get out. Try to get out and run. Get some easy ones, man. Try to force the action. You know, it just seems so snail pace. It's tough to watch. They can't buy an outside bucket. Poor Paolo Banchero. I mean, I feel bad for the guy because there's no spacing. You know, that guy, you know, he wants to attack the rim. And, you know, obviously Cleveland has 2 7-footers down there, and there's nobody that they respect on the outside to even force those guys to get out the paint. They're pretty much just camping in down there, Martin. There's no room for them to operate.
I think the Cavaliers said, Jonathan Isaac, you can shoot as many threes as you'd like.
Yeah.
In fact, would you like to shoot another one on this possession?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man. So, while watching those games, I've definitely were thinking about you, like, oh, man, Martin, your agenda. Actually, I texted Julia yesterday, and you said, this is proof that good things do happen to bad people. No.
Well, I'll say this. While that agenda was taking a hit, I was thinking about this in a way. I have some other agendas that are, oh, boy, they are strong right now. Strong through two games of the postseason. Some of the other things I've been pushing have been working very well. We'll talk about that game.
Let's take a break. You want to take a break and get to it?
Yeah. Real quick. Boston.
Okay.
Just sweep them. Just get this out of here.
Yeah.
And get this over with. You already see the funny act and stuff. With Jason Tatum landing on his back, that's the way that you lose this NBA Finals, Boston, by playing too many playoff games on the way there. That's the only way through this Eastern Conference that you should really blow something, right? Until the Eastern Conference Finals. So go ahead and just handle this thing. Like, they play tonight, right? No, they play tomorrow night. They play Wednesday.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
They play Wednesday.
Yeah.
So there should be a game Wednesday, another game on Friday probably, then another game on Monday. And by that point, you all could even take a short vacation if you wanted to go, like maybe stay in Florida for a little bit, rent a hotel, put your feet up by the pool, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because you should be relaxing by the end of game four of this scenario. And if you don't, it just shows me, honestly, that you're not serious.
Speaking of this,
are we in agreement there?
Yeah, I just looked it up. I want you to take a stab at it. What did you think? What are the series odds for the Celtics to win this series, you think, right now?
I know that they're upwards of -50,000.
Yeah. It's minus.
Minus, 50, yeah, 000. Yeah. And I tell you what, that's the side I would bet on. Give me 35,000. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call this prudential financial advice to go and take a $50,000 loan out to bet on the Celtics. But if you did, you'd have $100 more than when you started.
So, I mean, while we're here real quick, are we just on an agreement that we will be totally shocked if there's not a Celtics Nuggets NBA Finals?
I'm not there yet.
And I'm sure that's because on the Celtics side, I'm assuming. All right.
I'm not there yet. I'll just say that. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
The middle of the West has shown me more than I expected.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think while I say the Nuggets are still prohibitive favorites, like I think the title odds with the Celtics being the favorites at plus 120 to 150-ish and with the Nuggets being right behind them and then the rest of the pack being like upwards of 1,000 plus 1,000, I think those are right. But that's right right now. And if we had looked at this this time last year right now, the Celtics would have been the second favorite to win the title. And they end up losing in the East Conference Finals because anything can happen within this next two months. That is the NBA playoffs. But
we'll get to that after the break. But I have a sneaky suspicion that one team in the West is that team in cold Minnesota that you may be bullish on.
Cold Lake Minnesota.
Take a break.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Bet maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after the qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
The performance of the weekend to me, Anthony, I'm not the MVP. Don't even think about voting me MVP. Don't even put me on the MVP ballot. Anthony Edwards, 18 points in the third quarter on the way to 33 for the game. And not only that, did it with style, did it with panache, did it with all types of juice. As he's sitting there telling Kevin Durant, listen, you old, bald, skinny, this, that, and the third, you can't guard me. Get out of the way. And KD sitting there laughing like, you know what? I am old. I am skinny. I have been balding for the last 10 years. You're absolutely right. I can't guard you.
While in the midst of Anthony Edwards seeing him make 3 or 4 buckets in a row, talking about KD, is like, man, that boy's nice. Because as you guys know, that's his favorite player of all time. He calls KD the GOAT. So that was obviously a big moment for him, you know, looking at his childhood hero. You know how they say, like, your heroes become, what's the saying? Martin, help me out right
your
here.
Your heroes become your rivals.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. So prime example right there in 4K during game one. And yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Martin. You know, now I'm not going to overreact. I still got Phoenix winning the series. But I will say, though, I'm not nearly as confident as I was before. And it's not just because it was just one game. It's kind of what you were talking about. Like, Phoenix does look old. Like, you know, even like Bradley Beal. And then, oddly, you know, Booker is young, right? Devin Booker?
Youngish, but yeah. So think about it, though.
He looks older than he feels, though.
But think about that finals run. That was now upwards of 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a minute since he's kind of been in his prime. I think he's in year 4 or 5 of his prime, Devin Booker.
Yeah.
So, like, as he's still young, I think he's probably on the back half of his prime. Not that I'm expecting his prime to end anytime soon, but when you look at the arc of the player, he's probably on the decline at this point in terms of how long he'll be dominant in the NBA. He played terrible.
Yeah, and I do expect him to play better tonight in game two. I would actually look at his player props if you're a prop better. I do think he will bounce back tonight.
But okay, Jonte Porter.
Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, Anthony Edwards, when he goes on those runs like that, it just fuels that whole team, especially when they're at home and he's just draining those threes and there's nothing but net. Like, it doesn't hit anything, man. And it's tough to recover from that. And it feels like Phoenix, while they got the names and you would think they'll be explosive offensively, it feels like they can't even have the juice in those moments, right? Like KD was balling. Like he was making shots from the mid-range, the three-point line. Well, it didn't feel impactful though, Martin. Am I wrong in feeling that way? Like it felt like he was scoring in the flow of the game, but I didn't feel it. You know, like Anthony Edwards buckets, you feel those. Like they feel like bombs that rain on you and like it hurts. KD's are just like, oh, that was cute. But
we talk about this all the time. Not all shots and not all buckets count for the same. They definitely count for the same on the scoreboard, but they don't in the grand scheme of things. Like Jamal Murray's shots down the stretch last night for the Lakers. I mean, for the Nuggets against the Lakers. Every one of them was like right cross to the chin, left cross to the chin, gut punch, right? And we like there's other guys like in that in the play-in tournament, in the first two or three quarters of the game, we were texting back and forth. I was like, Zion has 20, but it doesn't feel like it. You know what I'm saying? Or like Trae Young is the king of this to me. He's like the way he can score 30 and you look up, you're like, he scored how many? When did that happen? Right? You're like, when did that happen? I didn't see that happening at all. Anthony Edwards, you felt every one of them. The thing with KD, he had like 10 points at the end of the first quarter. Yeah. You know, so if you think about it, he had 10 points in the first quarter. That means he's spreading out the rest of it to finish with 31. And the thing about it is, it felt like you said, he was scoring in the flow of the offense, but there was like moments in time in which, and we first saw this really in the Brooklyn-Boston series when what was the bet that you and I made? I think I bet that there would be, whatever it was about sweeps in the playoffs. And I was like, Brooklyn is going to get swept, and that's what it was. Brooklyn is going to get swept, and Denver was going to get swept, just to show you how long ago this was in the postseason. You're like, no way. There's going to be under 1.5 sweeps in the final. Bet it up. And sure enough, both of those teams ended up getting up out of there. But the reason I bring that up is not to rub it in your face, but to talk about Kevin Durant, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown – to me, that was the first time that we saw Kevin Durant not being able to just pick his moment to blow past whoever was in front of him in the postseason, or in games that truly matter. And since that time, he's really evolved to me to be more of a stand-up, like, jump shooter as opposed to somebody who you really are consistently counting on getting to the rim, forcing his own shot, forcing, you know, defenses to foul him and so on. And I think if I am Minnesota, I think I'm kind of okay with KD shooting jumpers. Like, as crazy as that sounds, I'd rather KD shoot jumpers because he's not going to put the ball on the floor and impact my paint and defense in a way that Devin Booker will or Bradley Beal will if they start cooking.
Yeah, this series is very simple for me from a Phoenix perspective. Devin Booker just can't be 4 for 15. I mean, you could take solace in that if you're Phoenix. Like, we were still had a chance. We were still in the game for the most part, for most of the game. Obviously, things kind of got wild in the fourth quarter. But, you know, and then Anthony Edwards had 18 in the quarter. You can't just allow that. Can you cut that to 10 or 12? You know, can we just not allow him to get 18, the 20 points in a quarter, right? Even though he's capable of doing that, I think pretty much any night, because he can get hot. When he gets hot, he's hot, and he's unconscious at that
and
point.
He's loud about it too. He's one of the best tickets to watch in the NBA right now.
Oh, 100%.
Without a doubt.
100%. So, yeah, I'm actually intrigued. Like, tonight we have a lot of every game tonight, all three of them, I'm equally as intrigued. Like, we got Pacers Bucks. We didn't talk about that game. That game went, I just threw out the window. The Pacers, I don't know what the hell happened. They just
Why are you just throwing out of the window?
Because that was not real to me. Damian Lillard scoring 35 in the first half, and then he didn't even score 1 point in the second half.
He didn't need to. They were up by 30.
No, I get it, but still, come on. You didn't score at all in the second half? Not one time? Like, not one? And then Tyrese Halliburton, he needs to shoot more. Like, I get that you don't want to be this true point guard and get the assist and all the rebounds and all of that, get a triple-double, but no, man. You have to put the ball in your hands more and kind of be more aggressive because they need your offensive scoring punch in this series, especially with no Giannis out there, man. Like, there's no excuse for him not to produce better on the offensive end from a scoring standpoint. And then, like, we were talking about the Suns and Timberwolves. It's a big game because I don't think the Suns can go down 0-2. I'm not confident they can win both games at home, even though that will be a nice home court advantage. We've seen that place rocking in Phoenix in the last couple of playoff runs they have had. And then we didn't talk about this game yet. We're probably going to get on this next. What the hell happened game one in L.A. with the Dallas Mavericks? I mean,
that to me was the most surprising result of the weekend.
Yeah.
But I do kind of feel like it's a level of we know we didn't – like, they knew they weren't going to have Kawhi. And I know he's questionable tonight. Jaw will be on the floor if I see him out there tonight. I'd be absolutely shocked.
Well, I don't know what he said today, but Skip has been pretty strong on him playing. And he has some inside sources, apparently, with Kawhi. And he said he expects him to play in game two.
I'll still be surprised. I'd be surprised to see him out there because not that I'm super sourced or plugged in, but I've been hearing that the knee was more damaged than they're letting on. And maybe he does play. Maybe two things are true. Like, the knee is more damaged than they're letting on, and he still plays on it, which, you know, I'm going to tip my cap to you, pal, if he does go out there and play. But, I mean, ultimately, with the Mavericks, that was just a tough watch. That was a tough watch. And look up at the third quarter. They only have 30 points at halftime. What is this, the Phoenix Suns in a game seven those years, that year? You know, when somebody hit a three to cut it to 43, like, I'm not understanding what I'm looking at here. But if there ever is a game to throw away, that will be the one that I throw. Like, we've seen Damian Lillard have huge playoff games before. He's a prime time playoff performer, especially when, and we've also seen him carry a team through the postseason, not necessarily all the way to a championship, but Damian Lillard is good enough to win you a round or two. And who knows, now that he got a rapper girlfriend, maybe that'll incentivize him even more, you know. He goes, he's a glow Lillard seems to be a thing.
Oh wow, this dude said glow Lillard. Wow, is that
did you not see she had a personalized jersey?
Oh, I know. But no, I thought it out the window too, because that was just, I mean, they couldn't buy a bucket, especially in that first half. I mean, like, you're talking about 30 points is just ridiculous. And, you know, you look at the final box score, you'll say, oh, Kyrie and Luka actually had good games. Like, they both ended up with almost 30 points or about 30. So, you know, got nothing from nobody else. But, yeah, that start, you know, they were playing behind the eight ball from the beginning. I expect a much better performance tonight. Whether they win or lose, it would not look like that at all tonight inside of Crypto.com Arena. But you were talking about Kentucky guards. One game we haven't touched on, I think the only game we haven't touched on, SGA. The guy that made the central game winner for the most part in that game one against the Pelicans.
When he threw that shot up, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was he like, threw like a quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a ton of ugly watches. That was an ugly game too, but at least it was competitive because we were going through a stretch of games throughout the weekend where all of them were blowouts. Like, teams were getting beat by double digits left and right. So I was glad to see actual post game come down to the wire. And, you know, I know you mentioned CJ McCollum earlier. He kind of sold and he had a good look at the end. You know, that was actually
kind of sold. He's been terrible for the last four games that the Pelicans have played have been for, I don't say all the marbles, but four major things, right? From the end of the regular season, game 82, to the first play-in, to the second play-in, to now game one of that series, CJ McCollum has been whatever. You know, they say, oh, this guy's never going to have to buy a drink in this city again. CJ McCollum's going to have to buy every single drink he ever wants to drink the way that he's playing. It's like it was always kind of a questionable fit. But the bottom line is that team is better when the bench is on the floor. It's just better with Alvarado. It's better with Trey Murphy. You know, I'm not necessarily telling you got to bench Brandon Ingram, but like it's better with Larry Nance out there as opposed to Valanciunas, even though Valanciunas does have a matchup they need to exploit and put Chet's, oh, I need to eat a sandwich self in the backboard a few times. And he was doing it. He was trying to get there. You know, you could see him being like, do y'all not see who's guarding me? Slim Fast over here. Give me the rock. But that team is better with the bench. Like Trey Murphy has got to play over CJ McCollum. Like all due respect to the what is it? NBPA president, but he's got to go.
Did your dad send you any text messages during the game? You know, he's a Pelicans fan in New Orleans, if you don't know where to live.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to give Eddie more work to bleep all the stuff out, but let's just say he's not a fan of CJ.
Okay.
Not a fan at all. Not a fan of CJ McCollum in the slightest. Because it honestly, though, it is getting ridiculous. And I get you don't want to be rash and make decisions based off of what you're seeing, sometimes. But, like, it is time to make a change.
But they need him, though, Martin. You got to ride with him. I get it. But in their situation right now, especially with no Zion, they're going to need his scoring. And they need him.
His scoring? He's not scoring. That's the problem.
I get it, but you got to ride with him until the wheels fall off.
Are falling off. It's four flats on the back of that Cadillac right now.
Are you saying just to bench him? Like
he needs to be coming off the bench. He needs to be coming off the bench at this point in his career. He's not a primary scorer anymore. Murphy spaces the floor and shoots 40% from three.
But on that team, as they're currently constructed, he needs to be their second option behind Brandon Ingram right now. He has to.
And this is ultimately why they should have drafted Ja Morant.
Oh, gosh. Here we go again. The guy that's not playing right now, too, right?
Neither one is playing right now, champ. Neither one is playing right now.
There you go.
And you already texted. You've conceded. That was the way I laughed when you texted me and said, Zion out again, you win. I got a good hearty laugh out of that.
Just unreal, man. It's just so unfortunate because the guy was playing really good. He made a shot to tie the game. And then I don't know what happened. It's just, they could definitely use him in this series too. This would be an ideal matchup. Like he would be able to dominate because the OKC is very thin in their front court. Like he would be able to eat in this matchup. That's why it just really hurts that he's not there.
It's too bad he was spending less time eating in this matchup and more time eating in the world. And
oh my gosh. Before we get into our lemon pepper parlay, we'll take a break. I got to ask you this because we're not going to record until next Tuesday. How many series, if any, will be done by the time we record next week? Just the Boston series?
Boston definitely should be done. When this is without looking at the schedule, I think the Lakers will be watching from home.
When will game five be? Would that be Monday? Let me look it up real quick. Because you think it might go five between Lakers and Nuggets. I think Lakers get one. So if that's the case, game five would be, it'll be Monday. So it'll be done. Yeah.
I think I don't see a way that when you beat somebody 10 times in a row, like fluky stuff has to happen, but also you're just better. Like you're just flat out better. Like you're just better than that team.
Yeah. So yeah, we're there. I think those are the only two series I think will be done. Lakers, Nuggets, and Celtics Heat. I don't think any of the series will be done before then, before we record next Tuesday.
Tell you what, if the Thunder don't step up, They might be looking for not a series in which the Pelicans are going to win, but a series in which the Pelicans will, like, if they play that game in New Orleans, Pelicans probably win that game, with CJ McCollum shooting like he's blindfolded.
Oh, man. I hope they can win. Well, I hope for CJ's fact. I hope CJ has a bounce back game because I think you're going a little too far on saying he needs to be benched. I think that's a little knee jerk reaction for me.
He has
a little
been
too much.
A playoff seller since Damian Lillard and Portland were there. That's the reason why I've
don't
had
forget
the
that game. You don't forget that one game seven he had, though, against Denver when he carried. He carried, and they won in Denver in that game
this
seven.
This is like when people say, and the NFL draft is coming up, so everybody will be able to appreciate that. But this is like when people say, you should just take a quarterback in the sixth round because he might be Tom Brady. But he's probably not going to be Tom Brady. And the fact that you can name the one sixth-round quarterback that won multiple Super Bowls proves one thing. It's called an outlier. That means everybody else is the opposite. The outlier is a unicorn event that happens very rarely, if not even just once. CJ McCollum's Game 7 outlier. There you go.
There you go. You got anything else you want to recap for the weekend?
I just want to know why everybody picked the Pacers to beat the Bucks, and maybe they eventually will. But like the disrespect on Damian Lillard.
I thought you did.
Hell no.
Oh, I thought you did because without Giannis, I thought.
I picked the Bucks. I picked the Bucks. I thought it'd be a longer series.
Oh yeah, you did say out. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. You were.
But I picked the Bucks, even knowing that Giannis has potential to miss the first three games of the series. But in part because Damian Lillard is a stone cold killer.
Well, I picked the Pacers. I'm raising my hand right now.
I feel like that was just a very trendy. And I'm not trying to come at you for it, but it's just in general because it was a very pop. That was like the upset pick. And I think everybody was just like, but they have Doc Rivers. And, you know, Doc Rivers is like, you know, we got to wait about a month before Doc Rivers' flame out goes to high on the stove, right? Right now, it's like Doc Rivers only gets through the first round. We're talking second round conference finals when things get a little dicey.
Well, to be fair here, these two teams played each other five times in a regular season, counting the play-in tournament, and the Pacers were 4-1 against them, and Giannis played in these games, right? And I know the regular season, I get it, you blah, 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 but 4-1 is pretty substantial. And the only game the Bucks won was the Ballgate game when Giannis had like 60 points. So this team has struggled defensively with Giannis, and the Pacers are one of the best offensive teams. They play at a fast pace. So without him missing 2 to 3 games, I don't think it was crazy for people to say the Pacers are going to win this series. Not still in there. I'm not wavering off of one game where I'm saying I'm throwing it out the window. I think it was fake. I'm throwing it out the window, Martin.
Y'all not putting enough respect on Glow Lillard.
The Pacers are going to win tonight. It's going to be 1-1.
Yeah, Glow.
That song is hard, by the way. She snapped. But
yeah, Glow.
It's going to be 1-1 going back to Indy, and then all things are going to be back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard about to be like, it's glow time. It's glow time. Let's take a break and throw out our lemon pepper parlays. All right, Mark. Why don't you come ahead with your lemon pepper parlay? I think we're going opposite each other tonight, so I wish you the worst of luck preemptively.
Well, I guess I appreciate that, maybe. I don't know. So for tonight, I'm taking Dallas Mavericks money line. That was my tease from earlier. This streak of home teams winning every single game has to end. And I already said I got the Pacers winning, but that's not part of my parlay. But I think a couple of road teams win tonight, just for disclosure. So Mavericks money line, and I'm pairing that with the Suns against the spread. I didn't go money line here. I wasn't going to go all the way there, but I got them covering the 3. And I got both of these plays at plus 281, Martin.
Well, we are not going opposite as I thought, because I'm taking the Mavericks plus the 1.5. I do think they win, but ultimately, if there's anything that I have learned throughout this postseason or throughout NBA playoff betting, if there are points on the table and you can still get it at even odds, might as well go ahead and take it. You know what I'm saying? Might as well go ahead and take it. And if they win, you know, maybe I'll miss out a little bit on that. What is that? The money line bonus of 5 cents. I'll go ahead. Y'all can keep that. Y'all can keep that 5 cents. I'll just take the 1.5 here. And I'm taking the Minnesota Timberwolves on the money line. So there is a way for both of our parlays to hit. Very slim margin, right? It's about a 4-point margin between the spread on the Dallas game and the spread on the Phoenix Minnesota game. But I'm taking the Timberwolves again, because the other thing that we didn't touch on already as great as Anthony Edwards was in that game, which he was incredible, as well as Rudy Gobert played defensively and offensively for that matter, in some of his roles to the rim, because that's a guy they are not calling any plays for. And as up and down as Karl Anthony Towns was, because I thought the key to this series was going to be Karl Anthony Towns forcing Kevin Durant to play defense, right? Because like that's kind of where, if you can run him out of the gym, get him some early foul trouble, something like that, that can have a major impact on the way that Phoenix plays. But here's the thing, and I don't normally try to kill color commentators or play-by-play guys, because half the time I'm listening with the volume off anyway. But I had the volume on for this, and Hubie Brown was talking about how the bench scoring for the Timberwolves was like 3 times to 4 times the bench scoring for the Suns. And he was just saying how that had to improve if the Suns wanted a shot in this series. Well, unfortunately for Hubie and the Phoenix Suns, they don't have a bench. They don't, they start, like, you know, they say in the playoffs, you start, you run 7 guys, trust 6. Well, the Suns only trust 4 guys. The reality of the situation is they really only trust 4.
You got to play 5 out there at a time.
therein lies the issue. You got to play 5 at one time. And the Suns, I mean, just think about it. First quarter, we saw Yusuf Nurkic taking 3-pointers. Like, how does that happen on that team? Because they don't got nobody else. You know what I'm saying? They don't have anybody else to pick up a lot of that other stuff. So I think that we end up seeing, even if Anthony Edwards doesn't play as well or Carl Anthony doesn't play as well, I think the bench minutes are going to be ones where Minnesota takes a 2-point lead to 7 points. And then that's enough right there in the playoffs to, I mean, you saw it last night, you know, a 20-point lead goes to 15. Then it stays at 15 for a minute. Then it gets down to 10. Then all of a sudden somebody hits back-to-back threes, and before you know it, you're in a dogfight.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because you got me thinking now, and I'm thinking about, you know, my mind thinks about player props. I feel like tonight's a Naz Reid type of night.
Naz Reid.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a great tweet. It didn't go viral because Elon's trying to silence the real, but said, if Mark Jones is calling every game of the series, which I don't know if he's on tonight or not, probably not because it's Tuesday, so it's going to be on TNT, right?
Yeah.
But I said, if Mark Jones called every game of this series, we would definitely hear a Naz Reid 4-3. Whose world is it? The world is his.
Bro, what was the ball he said during the game? I remember hearing it in real time, but I forgot it. It was like it was a playoff of some type of rap song. Gosh, I can't remember what it was.
I mean, he does it all the time.
Yeah. But it was like all the time. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you said, coming through, trying to say what's up, Ski Wee.
Shout out to Mark Jones.
What if Mark Jones is calling the Pacers Bucks game and he goes, it's glow time when Dame Lillard hits a 3? I'll fall off the couch.
That'll break the internet.
I'll fall off the couch.
Now I break the internet.
Either way, Mark, I hope that your lemon pepper parlay hits in a way that's hooking mine too.
Yeah. You know, like you said, we're not as opposite as you thought. It's just a very, very slim margin.
Are you ready for the Anthony Edwards show tonight?
I'm not. Devin Booker plays big tonight. Suns win. 1-1. Going back to Phoenix.
Oh, but yeah, but you didn't put that in your parlay, did you? You won those 3 points, didn't you?
Yeah, I needed those 3, though.
Yeah, you need those 3 points. Yeah, I had to be safe. Okay. All right. Nothing is safe when Anthony Edwards is roaming the basketball court. I'm looking forward to the games tonight. Good luck, pal.
See you next week, man.